case you don't remember, the lectionary, as it's currently laid out, is on a 3-year cycle. ABC, ABC. We're currently in year C. In Advent, we'll switch over to year A. We start in Advent. It's our new year. When I was newly ordained, this was the cycle we were in. And as it does happen, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time often falls at about the beginning of July, which is when all the new assignments take place for the priests across the diocese. And I remember looking at my assignment. I'd been there for a month, because newly ordained always start in June instead of July, or at least I did that year. And I was looking at two things. One, I was looking at this new parish that I had just arrived in, my first parish. I was trying to determine, you know, how I was to act. And I was trying to prepare for the other half of my assignment, which was teaching at Boylan. I was about to teach children, which, if you knew anything about me leading up to that moment, should have frightened everyone, but they were about to let me teach children all by myself. And I came to the Gospel for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time in year C, and here's what it said to me. It said, "Behold, I'm sending you like lamb among wolves." And I wasn't really sure how that was supposed to go for us. But I think it is a great reminder to us that even though this parish does not experience the new assignment of a priest here, we know of many priests that have been reassigned, and that is this time of year. Remember, this is their first Sunday in the parish. They have to start with this passage. Pray for those priests. They always need a little help. Hopefully they don't meet too many wolves along the way. It is beautiful. It's beautiful right here in Luke's Gospel. Because he expresses something so very clear. He says, there's a lot of work to do, isn't there? The harvest is abundant, the laborers are few. There's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed. But there aren't that many in the field. The laborers are few. There is this genuine concern over how we're going to get this stuff done. I regularly get told what I need to do. Father, what you really need to do is, don't worry, there's lots of things that apparently I'm supposed to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to fulfill all of them, but I get regular instructions on how I'm supposed to act and do and where I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to spend my time. So I have lots of people willing to tell me what's needed to be done. What we must never underestimate is that it can be a little overwhelming at times, for one thing. But we must never be shy about acknowledging that there is a legitimate need. We need more people working in the fields. We need more people genuinely invested. And I'm not just talking about priests. It is a great reminder to us that each and every one of us, as children of God, has been baptized. And as we are baptized, that we are indeed commissioned by God Himself to go to work. We go to this work and we commit ourselves to these great and difficult tasks. Some of them are too big for us. That's okay. There are other people for the tasks too large for us. But each and every one of us has a responsibility as the children of God to go out and work very hard. We are to be witnesses, each and every one of us. Not just the priests are sent out like lambs among wolves. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world doesn't always think we're so great. Sometimes they're kind of violent against us. There's not a lot of reports of it, but there's actually a great deal of persecution of the church going on in the world. In the Middle East right now, especially in Egypt, Christians are being killed daily. I have now read reports of a priest dying almost every single day of the week for the last 2 months in Egypt. I don't see a lot of news reports covering it, but there are reports of it happening. Whole churches are being burned alive. People are not always welcoming to this. There is a great deal of hostility to the church. We must never underestimate that there is a lot of work to do. But I find it most interesting if we look at it from the perspective of what has been given to us in the first reading. Because here we have Isaiah. Isaiah was no stranger to suffering himself. First of all, this is 66 chapter. This is the second Isaiah. We call him Deutero-Isaiah, which is a fancy way of saying second Isaiah. He comes in at a time when the people experience such a great suffering. Half of them are, well, more than half, but most of them are in exile in Babylon. They find themselves cut off and sent away to Babylon. And so they genuinely have this great need to know that God is still there with them. And what does Isaiah say? He says, look, rejoice with Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where God is spreading his prosperity. There's this great promise that I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river. I find that especially interesting considering at the time of Isaiah when he wrote this, Jerusalem was about an inch tall. They had burned the whole thing to the ground. So it was this reassuring, I will spread prosperity over her. And they all go, yeah, right, that's a nice joke because there's nothing left of Jerusalem. God said, look, it may look gone right now. It may look bad, it may look bleak, it may look burnt, it may be difficult, but never, ever underestimate that I'm invested in this. And I'm going to make it good. I find this especially heartening. I find this especially encouraging when you consider what it means, the word itself, Jerusalem. This place of peace. Literally, Salem is peace. The Jerusalem is this place of peace. And if we are to go out and be commissioned by God to do this work, if we are to experience this prosperity, yes, but to actually go out and be sent like sheep among wolves, if we are to be sent out to this difficult task, I think it's very important that we remember that we're sent out in peace. We're sent out with this assurance that we are supposed to be given this great gift of peace, that we are sent out in this effort to bring peace to others. This sense of peace and stability. And I find it is no coincidence, because God always works in all of these things, that we talk about this opportunity to go out and spread peace and be joyful children of God on the weekend closest to the 4th of July. Now, they can go find other coincidences in other nations, but here in the United States, we have this great opportunity. We are reminded of our independence. We are reminded of the great gift and the sacrifice that is involved in celebrating our Independence Day. That a few very crazy, very strange individuals would be brave enough to step forward to say that we are entitled to certain inalienable rights. And that these rights are worth dying for. That they are worth standing up for. That they are worth being a witness to, even if not everyone thinks so, even if some disagree, even if it comes to blows. I find it especially telling that we have such a wonderful opportunity to be reminded that our freedom is not free, that we are sent out as children of God. And we are sent to be agents of peace in a troubled world that is not always willing to accept that peace.